T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Having a lot of fun, tons to talk about today in the huddle. Final hour has reached us quickly. Thanks for all the calls so far. Got the Clemson fans riled up today. 844-477-3776, text line 71307, and Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Diddy in studio with us. Mike Venditti, our blogger and podcaster from ESPNUpstate.com, and sometimes show host in here.
Sometimes.
I like to talk to you about baseball when you come in, but it seems the biggest story in baseball is that an agent was filming his clients in the shower.
Yeah, which, my goodness, what's going on? What is going on in this world right now? Yeah, that's real. That's a story.
Yeah,
it's crazy because we came into December and the whole conversation was once Giancarlo is traded, once Ozuna's sent off, once this, what was the third person that he was signed? The Asian guy.
That guy.
Otuna or... Gosh, right. What was his name? I'm forgetting it now. Otani. Once he's signed, it's going to all just fall in place. Dominoes, 1,000 different signings and trades. It's going to be so exciting, and nothing. We've seen absolutely nothing, and as a Red Sox fan, it's very frustrating because, you know, you've been waiting for something after the Yankees have done so much, so it's just kind of boring. It's been one of the worst off seasons ever.
Could it still heat up?
You would expect it because there's still some really big names who are free agents. JD Martinez doesn't have a team. So, something's going to happen. And there's talks of Machado still with both the Yankees and the Red Sox and other teams. There's talks of JD with a bunch of teams. Greinke could be traded. All of these, could-bes sound interesting. But until something happens, it's really boring. It's really been an awful offseason.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a couple of headlines from ESPN. They say the 2018 Astros could be perhaps one piece away from being the best team ever. They won 101 games last year. What do you think?
Adding Garrett Cole is huge as well, just bolstering that rotation. I mean, they're studs. They've built this team from the ground up. They're all there. They've got a lot of these guys locked in for a while, and you saw them completely dominate baseball a year ago, so why not expect them to dominate it for a while as long as they're all sticking together there in Houston?
Yeah. All right. That's enough baseball because there's nothing happening. We'll watch. If something starts happening in baseball, we'll bring you back here and talk about that. Our discussion for the past, what's it been? 30 minutes at least, was the comment of Ivan Maisel of ESPN. It basically said that this Alabama game with Clemson has changed his perspective completely on Clemson, that he was thinking of Clemson as being right there with Alabama before that game, and now he's changed his mind, that Clemson's only great when they have a great quarterback, and they were not great this year without Deshaun Watson.
Well, I mean, isn't every team only great when they have a great offense?
Not Alabama.
You have to score. Well, I mean, you still have to score points. So their offense isn't decrepit or bad. Or
I wouldn't say it was bad.
You
but...
also never have an issue of losing that many people on Alabama that are that high caliber and having some kind of a step back in quality of talent because they're always going to have five stars basically everywhere on the field because they're Alabama. I don't think that's kind of a very fair statement, to be honest, because they fought with them twice to the last second, won one, lost one in the championship game. Bama got them in this game. Yeah,
didn't,
it was
didn't
more,
go to the last second.
Didn't go
year.
To the last second, but I mean, everybody before this season, all of us included, thought Clemson was losing three games, two or three at least, and not even going to be in the playoffs. So when you're looking at a team rebuilding, they get to that point still compete with Alabama and they lose in that game, I don't see how you can say that it completely changes what happened for the two seasons before, especially when you see what's coming down the pipe for Clemson right now and what's going to be there in the future.
Could Clemson win it all with Kelly Bryant next year?
Is Kelly Bryant even going to play?
Yes.
He's going to be quarterback.
He's going to start the season at quarterback, isn't he?
We'll see.
You can't start the year with Trevor Lawrence.
Is he going to be at spring?
Trevor Lawrence, yeah, he's already there.
See, Trevor Lawrence will be playing quarterback next year.
He may be starting today.
He's playing quarterback next year.
He's going to start game one.
Because as our man Ivan said, they didn't have a quarterback. Now they do. He's there.
It's not that Kelly Bryant is bad, but he's comparing him to Florida State with Jameis Winston.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that fair because Jameis Winston left and Florida State didn't make the playoff.
Right. I know, and Clemson did. Clemson's better top to bottom.
Yeah.
Florida State.
If you're looking at it as a team thing, their defense was better this year, and you're getting more weapons next year, and it's just going to look – I think they're going to be right back there. I don't see how that changes. It changes what this year's game was, obviously. This year's game was terrible. It was a horrible football game. Very boring.
Yeah, it was awful. The defense was great until they – ran up against Alabama. They weren't great against
They weren't horrible.
They weren't horrible. But I mean, you don't have to be horrible not to be championship caliber, did he?
But, I mean, how much does Alabama just average 20 to 26 points a game? Because if Clemson or anybody had an offense that would score more than that, maybe they beat them.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama's never been the high-scoring offense. That's just not what they do.
They're going to lock you down and take over.
Yeah. So, all right, here's my – and I think we have a 2-2 split in here, but correct me if I'm wrong. I think Lonzo and I think this. I'm going to speak for you, Lonzo. You love it when I do that, right?
You got the thumbs up.
Is that
so
your favorite thing for me to do? Clemson, I'll say this, see if you agree or disagree. All of you. Clemson is closer to Georgia and Ohio State than they are to Alabama. They're not knocking on Alabama's heels. Ohio State, Georgia's getting great. They look really good this year. Ohio State will be back. Clemson's right there. Those teams, and those are the three that come to mind. I don't know who else you put in that mix.
Here's where I think the gap is.
Are a step back from Alabama. All of them are.
I think all of the other teams that you named are. I think that Clemson might be the bridge gap in between.
Really?
So because there's a second spot above, 11.
No, because I think that Clemson's gotten to this point of being in that playoff ranking every single year of it. Not the top four, but top six every year of it. And done it without having that brand power of Ohio State, Alabama, the big name that you know this whole thing is all about, the brand name that's going to get that vote over a smaller name. So they don't have that, and they've been able to be in it every year in the mix and go to three straight playoffs, win a championship, lose a championship to the last second with Alabama. Who's stepped up to Alabama that much other than Georgia, but what other season has Georgia been there?
I disagree with you about brand name. ESPN has went out of their way to build Clemson up into a brand name. Clemson is everywhere. Herb Street's the biggest fanboy for
Clemson. But they are not. They earned that name. They are not just automatically pigeonholed into brand name power like Ohio State.
Yeah, they throat-slashed Oklahoma. And then they blistered Ohio State. It wasn't like they just overnight said, oh, we're going to anoint Clemson to this level. It's the same. See, that's the same argument that I have with people that want to hate on the playoff structure. And I don't want to get off onto that rabbit, but there's a reason they got there. Clemson earned the right to be there. They got to the only four teams can make the playoff. Clemson's been there three out of the 4 years.
And if you want to take Ivan's comments, too, and almost say, okay, fine, Clemson's not necessarily equal to Alabama. They're a step back from Alabama because of what we saw the other day. Well, then what we saw the last 2 years puts them a step ahead of Oklahoma and Ohio State.
You think Clemson's better than Georgia right now?
Oh, yeah.
I think they're at least as good, and I think they could beat them.
Josh, why is Clemson better than Georgia right now?
Are we comparing programs or are we comparing one
this year's
season?
Team?
Why is Clemson better than Syracuse right now?
Stop it. Oh, listen.
All right. You don't want to go down there, Iowa.
Oh, that's true.
Get inside 30 points to Iowa.
Hey, Ohio State's not really in this conversation right now. We're talking Clemson.
I'm just saying.
Said Clemson's above Ohio State, so let's stick with Clemson.
You know, don't get blown out at home.
Josh, Georgia's going to be there. It's not a one-year deal for Georgia. You don't think that?
No, I don't. I think
Georgia has the right coach now, and they're going to get things consistent.
Do you really think they're going to be that dominant throughout the season every year to get to this point when you're going to see teams in the SEC East somehow bounce back? They're not going to all stay.
They're in the SEC East is going to make it easy. Who's going to?
Yeah, but you're not. You think Florida's going to stay bad forever?
No, but
Tennessee's not going to finally maybe at least bounce back halfway to be decent enough to compete with
Isn't Florida
right
State going
to
come back in the Atlantic?
Right now, the SEC East has been garbage for the last three years. So it's like, yeah, they're great, and I think they are a phenomenal football team, and they held Bama. They were right there with them to the end. But, you know,
I do think
there's a really bad performance by Bama in that first half, too.
I do think that there's a gap between Georgia and the rest of the East.
Oh, yeah.
That is going to take at least 2 to 3 years for Florida, for Tennessee may not. I mean, we don't know what Pruitt's going to be yet as a head coach and what type of staff he's going to have. We assume because Dan Mullen one at Mississippi State. He's going to be able to do that in spades at Florida with the resources that he has. And I agree with that. Mm. But it's going to take 2 to 3 years. Georgia's not going anywhere.
Right.
And Alabama's not going anywhere. And Clemson's not going anywhere. The problem that Georgia is going to have is that they're going to face Alabama in the SEC championship. It was literally by an anomaly that it didn't happen this year. Now, averages say that they are the two best teams in the Southeastern Conference. And moving forward,
Georgia just proved they can play with Alabama.
Absolutely.
But isn't part of making this step, like this team's above this team who's above this team, also the continued success? I mean, this is the first year Georgia's there. They've lost the last two seasons. They've been second to Florida and McElwain, who got fired.
All right, I'm not talking about programs so much, because I know Georgia doesn't have the history. And Mark Richt didn't get them there. I got that. But where they are now, and they're not going anywhere, I'm talking about now forward. Georgia's there.
And I think Clemson's at least a step, if not two, ahead of Georgia.
I agree with that.
And a step ahead of Ohio State, especially with what's coming.
And I'll say this. Georgia's rise has put an enormous amount of pressure on the Pac-12, the Big Ten. Out of those two specifically, the Big 12, not so much, because Oklahoma is the class of that league, and I don't think there's a second unless Herman does something with Texas. Mm. But the rise of Georgia is literally going to make it that in the Pac-12 and the Big 10, you better go undefeated.
Yep.
Because
if it's two SEC teams are getting in.
Because winning the Big 10 championship doesn't mean anything.
Or well, winning the Pac-12 championship,
right,
for that matter.
Exactly.
Neutral field, Georgia and Clemson right now. You guys would all pick Clemson.
I would take Clemson.
Why?
Defense.
What are you seeing that makes you do that? What did you see in the postseason? Did you see against the same opponent a week apart in Alabama that makes you think that?
Alabama had a month to prepare for Clemson, a week to prepare for Georgia, for one. But it's the same exact transitive property that the committee uses to say that who USC played wasn't as good as who Ohio State played, who wasn't as good as who Alabama played. Right?
I don't know.
I think it'll be a heck of a game.
I followed him
neutral
the first
field
game,
Clemson.
I think Clemson played better teams. Therefore, I think they're a better team for their going through that schedule with only the one loss. Georgia didn't play as good a teams in the SEC East. So transitive property, just like the committee uses.
Georgia also played Notre Dame and beat them.
They did.
But then Notre Dame's not a good enough win for other teams.
Hmm.
So, like, you can't – here's where we quantify where these teams stack up is what's a joke.
I'm just watching –
Notre Dame ended up ranked, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
So did Memphis, but that doesn't count either.
Well, 20th.
Hey, where's – so
I knew you'd get me back on the Central Florida.
The Notre Dame win was why I said USC should have been in the playoff, too. So you can't discredit USC and use Notre Dame later.
Neutral field right now, Georgia beats Clemson, I'm telling you guys.
Let's make it happen.
Neutral field right now.
But first, let UCF play Alabama. Let's do that.
That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Look.
My shirt didn't come on time.
You didn't get your shirt? Your Central Florida shirt?
The brown truck didn't show up before I came back from lunch. It was very disappointing.
Mm-hmm. You got the publicity out of this. Can we let it go now?
$17.5 million of revenue based out of it. So you want to know what they were doing at the low-level school?
Where does that revenue go?
Into the program, into the school. Tuitions at an all-time, or applications are at an all-time high for a school that has 66,000 students.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, what are they going to go to, 100,000?
Yeah, they're going to blow out Arizona State as the biggest school.
And you can completely attribute it to this.
Well, a lot of it boosted after this.
Yeah,
mention, it's 9 days after the Peach Bowl.
What else is anybody talking about Central Florida for?
9 days after the Peach Bowl, and ESPN's still talking about it. Darren Rovell's doing a story on the billboard that was in Alabama yesterday. Damn. They're getting the notoriety.
If you decide to go to school because someone decides to call themselves champion, it's just becoming
aware of a school that you might not have thought about.
Exactly.
I mean, who thought about Central Florida before this year?
At least 66,000 kids a year.
Well, okay. They go
They need to be in the ACC.
They should be in the Big 12.
What's
the
solution?
Bob Bosley's an idiot.
What's the solution? Because there's not one, because nobody will let them in, right?
That's the problem. The problem is that nobody will let them in. If the solution is either you go to the bigger format, you drop these conferences and conference championships since they don't matter at all, make these teams play only Power 5 teams or only at least FBS teams, no FCS teams, no Division II and down.
I'm all about that.
So you have to schedule somebody like Memphis, Houston, UCF, Utah, BYU, these schools that you tell aren't good enough to compete with you because they don't play anybody good, play them. Mm-hmm. And if you make that happen, maybe we'll see these teams in. I think the best option would be for Bowlesby to wake up, add four teams, come back to the world of the rest of the Power 5 conferences. And then you get two teams that combine for the biggest television market next to LA, I think, in the country when you put Tampa and Orlando together. And you pigeonhole the recruiting for the Big 12 into Florida, which it's never had before.
Do you make them take a group of five if you go to eight? Do you make that? Do you write that in?
Why not? At least one at large, the best group of five team. Since you give the best group of five team a New Year's Six Bowl with the Peach Bowl, give that team one playoff game. If they get crushed, they get crushed, and everyone can tell them, see, we told you.
Yeah.
Well, and then Alabama still gets in with your other wild card this year with their one loss.
Why don't y'all think a Power 5 conference would let Central Florida in?
I think there's a lot of problems, and I think it goes deeper than just the Big 12 not wanting to split money up, which is what a lot of people point to. I think Florida, Florida State, and Miami don't want to allow it. There's already a big recruiting hotbed of Florida. There's three major universities in the state, and they're still having to compete against Alabama, against Georgia Tech, against Carolina, Clemson. We're all going down there trying to steal their recruits. They don't want to add two more Power 5 schools right there on I-4 when you have a bunch of great talent coming out of both Orlando and Tampa that might stay home instead of going to Florida State, Florida, and UM. So I think there's a lot of drama below that those three universities do not want to see these schools grow.
All right, Diddy, you okay with Brian Bowen being taken by the Gamecocks?
Yeah, I mean, he's the kid. We all gave Cam Newton a chance, right?
Some of us did.
I didn't, actually. But yeah, that was different because we had to lose to them in the SEC title, so I was mad. Yeah. But that was a fan thing. It's, you know, don't make the kid's life end because of stupid decisions of adults, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably shouldn't have been involved in it if he was, but I mean,
Daddy was.
There's grown-ups that are doing all of this. Rick Pitino was involved in all of this. The kid is just following the starstruck eyes, man. And sure, somebody hands you a $100 handshake.
Or $100,000.
Or $100,000, you're walking away with it.
They didn't give it to him, though. I mean, he was cleared by the FBI. Is that good enough for you?
That's fine by me. That's supposed to be what it means, right? Yeah. That's what, you know.
But not by the NCAA yet. We'll see.
But hopefully that brings more good talent, because they're not looking good right now.
Zion Williamson's on TV Saturday night.
Yeah. And we're hearing bad rumors as far as being Gamecock fans, huh?
Well, we are, but some are suggesting that Bowen coming in helps the chances to get Zion Williamson. Some suggest
can't hurt to get better talent.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to do it all alone.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I hate to upset the Clemson and Carolina fan bases right now, but I'd still go to Kentucky.
He may, too.
If it was
he
me.
May.
I'm sorry. That's he just, may, too. It's basketball, man. I play football in either of these two schools, but I go to basketball up there.
Yeah. You're not a blue blood in football, but man, in basketball.
Yeah, I might as well. I take that shot.
All right. Thank you, Diddy.
Thank you.
Look for your stuff on the website. ESPNUpstate.com. That's Mike Venditti. Back in a moment, we'll get back to the phones in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Thanks for hanging out with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate here. Thursday afternoon edition with GMAC Coach Phillips. Alonzo, 844-477-3776.
Hey, Greg, can I ask you a question? It's a technical question.
You may.
Do you know how to remove yourself from a Twitter thread where you've been, you know, copied into it and now you get all the replies? All this Diddy love, man, I don't want to see any more of this.
Yeah, we don't want
to
see
it. Is there any way to get off of this thread?
I don't know that you can do that. It's not like a group text, is it? A Twitter group? Because you're not really in a group. Everybody's tagging you every time. By retweeting
it. Doesn't help that Josh is retweeting every single one of them either. I think that proves that they're wrong. I mean, we give our opinion and we stick by it, and they just, you know.
Come on, man.
Multiple tweets doesn't make you right.
Back to the phones, and Billy is next in the huddle. Hi, Billy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to call in and say that I was wrong last week about my Georgia prediction, but. You know, Josh said nobody would call in. Well, he did say that I would, and he's right. I will. Win or lose, I'll call in. But I will say this: I do feel like that had there not been a quarterback change at halftime, I really believe that was headed towards a blowout. I think we would have seen Georgia score twice more, and it was going to be 27-0. And I agree with your assessment about Clemson and Georgia. It's not me being a Carolina fan. I just seen what I've seen all year, and, you know, KB couldn't throw the ball. And I'm sorry, I know Josh is going to disagree with that, but he was not accurate throwing the ball over 15 yards. And I think Georgia would have done the same thing that they were doing to Hurts.
Yep.
And you know, Georgia can throw the ball and run the ball. That opens up running and passing lanes on both sides. That's why I think that they would have probably won that game. Now, were they as talented? I think it was close. I would still lean towards Clemson's roster, but I think the quarterback position is a huge spot.
And Clemson doesn't have Tua on the bench. To bring in.
Exactly.
Well, they do now.
I was wondering one thing. Why, you know, everybody talks about how much of a genius that Saban is. If he's such a genius, why would he have that guy backing up hurts. I mean, that makes no sense.
Yeah. Why didn't you play? Saban has always, Billy, been kind of a, I want a guy that takes care of the football. And what, Jalen threw one pick all year, so he didn't put the ball up for grabs. And he'll count on the rest of his team to win it. But that may have changed now. Maybe he learned a little something.
Well, Greg, do you, Lonzo, or Coach think that they would have lost even one game had Tua played all year? I don't.
No. No, I think
How
it's
about
the
you, Josh?
Would Alabama have won out? Would they have lost to Auburn with Tua playing, I guess, is the question.
No. No.
I just think it opens up the running lanes. Exactly. That's my whole point. It opens up the running lanes that Hurts couldn't open up because he couldn't throw the ball. And
see,
then
wait. See, here's the problem, though. You're taking a sample size of a half, and he threw an interception in a half, and then he did throw a killer touchdown, but he did throw one interception. Right. What if he throws multiple interceptions in a game?
Well, I mean, he could have a bad game.
You could be right about that, Lonzo, but here's my thing about that. I just think that we've already seen a whole, 2 years of Hurts. Their roster was just better than everybody else's. That's the reason why they've only lost two games. It had nothing to do with Hurts.
Right.
You know, you can make the statement, well, what if Tua came in there and threw three or four interceptions? Maybe that happens. I would tend to believe that they would probably still protect that young man and not let him throw the ball as much. But when you're throwing and everybody's got their safeties up, it makes them, those passing lanes are a lot easier to hit. And it's hard for me to believe, as accurate as he was in that game, that he would have thrown, you know, two interceptions against teams that were inferior already.
Yeah. Hey, it opened up the run so much, too, when you got a guy that has that threat. They never had that downfield threat with Jalen Hurts. What a difference
it makes. That's the reason why I don't think that Clemson would have beaten Georgia, because we've seen what happened with them in the Alabama game. I don't think that Georgia's as good as Alabama on defense, but they were good enough to where they were going to be able to take that run away. Mm-hmm. And then what was going to happen? Was KB going to be able to beat them over the top? I don't think so.
I don't either. I'm with you, Billy.
Anyway, the playoff games, I'm going all chalk. I'll take Atlanta because now they're the favorite, which was kind of surprising. But I'll take Atlanta, Minnesota, and New England big, and probably Pittsburgh pretty big. Pittsburgh is in the same position, or I should say Jacksonville, that Clemson was, and Alabama. I don't believe in their quarterback. How can you go against Pittsburgh in that situation?
Yeah. All right, Billy, appreciate the call. Thank you for the predictions for the weekend. We haven't even talked about NFL today, but we have time to do that tomorrow, and we will. Let's go to Brian next in the huddle. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I was on a comment. I had a few comments about Clemson. Okay. First of all, I mean, you really can never tell about one game. Everybody has a little bit of a bad game. Clemson looked horrible against Syracuse. Alabama looked horrible against Auburn. So, first of all, if they played again, it wouldn't necessarily look exactly the same.
Right.
But having said that, I wanted to make another point that Vegas said that Clemson would have been a 2-point favorite on a neutral field against Georgia, for the record. But having said that, Clemson fans don't need to worry about all this. I mean, no one compares to the roster that Alabama has. I mean, they're the number one, two, or three recruiting class every single year. Nobody even comes close to comparing to those rosters. The fact of the matter is, 7-8 years ago, we were fighting the Clemsoning word, and now we're being mentioned in the same breath as Alabama.
Yep.
I mean, I couldn't be more happy as a Clemson fan, and everybody can try to rain on this parade because we didn't look very well in the playoff game. Sometimes that happens, but we're definitely on the rise, so I, for one, am just ecstatic. But thanks, guys. I enjoy the show.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, don't get me wrong here. Clemson has done marvelously for the past few years. I don't know how you ask for more than what Clemson has done the past few years. All this is about is Clemson and Alabama are way ahead of everybody else. That's the only thing that I'm debating with you guys. Clemson and Alabama are way ahead of everybody else. I don't see it. Alabama's way ahead of everybody else. Clemson's right there in that second group. I think there's a group. I'd put Georgia in it now. I'd still put Ohio State in it. Only anybody else I'd put in it. Is anybody else you guys want to add to the challengers right now?
You could possibly put Oklahoma in there.
Oklahoma?
I feel like I need a shower now.
Yeah, you're right. Oklahoma had a really good year.
They got to get out of the first round.
Yeah. Win something. That would help.
And I'll say this. Georgia probably did Alabama a favor because I'm not so sure that had Oklahoma held on and won that game, that it would have been a 40-0 game at the half and it wouldn't have mattered had Alabama played out Oklahoma.
Oklahoma would have been up 40-0?
The way they were scoring and the way, you know, historically Saban does not defend Big 12 defenses very well. He struggled mightily with them no matter how good they've been. Now, that's a circumstance that, you know, we'll never know the answer to that. But that offense, that offensive line, I mean, it took some crazy things to happen for Georgia to win that ball game.
I got that. But, I mean, how's Oklahoma going to score 40 on Alabama? That Alabama defense.
The way they scored 40 on Georgia.
Georgia's not Alabama. They're not Alabama. And here's the other thing about Oklahoma. What are they after Baker Mayfield? Let's see.
That's a great.
What are they?
Exactly.
We're going to find out.
Yeah. Exactly.
844-477-3776. Break time. Back with more. Going to hear from Jay Billis on who he likes this year in college basketball. Is there any team that's for real right now? Because everybody gets up to the top and loses. That's coming up. This is The Huddle. We'll give you some auto show tickets, too. Chance to win those coming up. ESPN Upstate. Minka Fitzpatrick's leaving. Alabama's done. Put a fork in him.
Who's next on the conveyor? Harrison's leaving, too.
Yeah, Harrison's leaving, too. They're losing a bunch. Bunch of underclassmen. Still waiting on the Clemson defensive linemen to make their decision. Mitch Hyatt's coming back. That announcement coming out. But still waiting for Cleland Farrell and Christian Wilkins and Austin Bryant to make their decision for Clemson. And that will be big for the Tigers going forward. We will see what they do. Have to make the decision by Monday, the 15th. College basketball, Clemson plays NC State tonight's 9 o'clock tip here on ESPN Upstate. Clemson 14-1, and NC State is 11-5. Who is good this year in college basketball? Well, Villanova, number one, they took care of number 10, Xavier, last night easily, 89-65. Number four, Michigan State held off Rutgers in overtime. Rutgers took Michigan State to overtime. 76-72. Duke all over Pittsburgh by 25 points. TCU lost to Texas in two overtimes. And Louisville beat Florida State in the ACC, 73-69. Jay Billis with ESPN. Who do you like right now based on what you've seen so far in college basketball?
Duke's the most talented team in the country. They start five NBA pros. Four of them are freshmen. But they're not good defensively, and they're giving up a ton of points. They're 1-2 in the ACC right now. They're giving up 93 points a game in ACC play. Michigan State is, I think it's Michigan State and Villanova is the two best teams, but right. They're not alone as teams that can win it. But I think they're the most mature. They've got star power. Like Villanova's got Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges. Both those guys are first team All America. Good. I think Jalen Brunson's the best point guard in America. And then Michigan State has the best depth. They don't take a dip when they go to their bench. They've got 10 guys that can play.
I agree.
Most of them are sophomores. They're in the top five in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. They're the only team in the country that's ranked that way.
Can Duke make a deep run without defense? They got to play a little better defense, don't they, at some point? Play some defense? That'd be good. Duke is 13-2 right now, number 7 in the country. I don't know, Coach. Who do you like? Villanova? He says Villanova, Michigan State. Jay does.
For the national championship?
Just does the better teams right now. From what we've seen so far, and it's still early.
See, I think in the top 10, they're all just dudes for right now.
Nobody stands out?
Nobody really stands out.
West Virginia? They've been good.
Yeah, they've had their moments. That's why I think let's ask that question in about 2 weeks.
No, I know.
3 weeks.
That'll tell us a lot.
Yeah, let them get into conference play. Let you know, because a lot of these teams, you know, I respect the fact that Notre Dame and, you know, some of these teams played tough out of conference schedules. Went to Maui, played a heck of a tournament there. So I think to me the separation to come here about the first or second week in February.
North Carolina might be good in 2 weeks.
That timing was impeccable on that.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame will fix that, what, tomorrow night?
Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
Saturday. Let's see. Saturday, 6 o'clock.
So far, early, I've been impressed with Arizona State, but they can't sustain it. Alabama has really impressed me. Auburn, what Bruce Pearl's doing is just remarkable.
A lot of people thought they would just collapse
exactly.
Controversy.
And they've held it together really well. But, to me, the most impressive one has been what Bobby Hurley's done at Arizona State. That's been – there was some discussion about Arizona State in the preseason,
mm-hmm.
but for them to back it up on the court, they've really done well and look good doing it.
13-2 at this point is Arizona State. And don't sleep on Wichita State.
No, they're – I picked them to play for the national title, so
mm-hmm.
they got to keep going. They got to keep – which they should run through their league schedule because there's just nobody in their league that's at their level.
Yeah, they lost to Notre Dame by a point, and then they lost to Oklahoma by 8 points. That's their only losses of the year. They don't have anything coming up. They play East Carolina and
right.
Tulsa and SMU, So we won't learn too much about them. They got Cincinnati down the road. That's a pretty good team. But they got to play them twice. We'll see on that. Clemson, NC State tonight's a big one for the Tigers. They beat NC State handily at home. This one's on the road in Raleigh, and it's a 9 o'clock tip tonight on ESPN Upstate. And then Clemson plays Miami, another good team,
mm-hmm.
at home on Saturday. So a couple of big ones coming up over the next couple of days for the Tigers. And the thing is, they're on the road tonight for a late game, 9 o'clock game, and then they've got a Saturday afternoon game. That's a quick turnaround. So see how Brad Brownell's team does with that. And then Tuesday night at North Carolina, I'm telling you.
The streak ends?
Maybe. You're over here trashing North Carolina. You have to believe. What's Clemson got to do to convince you? Beat North Carolina, right?
I mean, so far they've been great. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got a shot.
Very impressive.
We're finally in that thing on Tuesday night.
I'm sure I'll hear about it if they don't.
844-477-3776. We'll come back and give you those that opportunity to win those car show tickets, International Auto Show tickets. Before we get out of here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate, stay with us. Welcome back in. It's the final segment of the huddle on ESPN Upstate with GMAC coach Josh Phillips and Lonzo. Appreciate all the calls and texts and tweets today. Had a spirited discussion about Clemson football. And I want to give you an update on the newest Gamecock. And that is Brian Bowen coming in from Louisville. I'll tell you a story about his strengths and weaknesses. Coach, we opened the show today with the news that five-star recruit Brian Bowen is transferring out of Louisville and coming to South Carolina to be a Gamecock. I don't know how many people saw that coming. I hadn't heard any real buzz about that. We had to know that Bowen was going somewhere. But South Carolina? Well, yes. Frank Martin got in with him and got him. He is coming in. It'll be apparently 2 semesters before he can actually play for South Carolina, and they have to, get approval from the NCAA to get his eligibility reinstated, which was taken away during that investigation at Louisville. But what will Brian Bowen bring to the Gamecocks? State newspaper has a story today analyzing his strengths and weaknesses. And here's what they say. Coming out of high school, just about every scout and analyst raved about his combination of length and agility. He is 6'7". He has a 6'9 wingspan. Compares favorably in wingspan length to the post players for South Carolina right now. But he has the speed to match up with the guards they have right now. So we talked about it. Where will they put him? I mean, he looks like he's going to be a forward, but he's fast enough to be a guard, and he can handle the ball. Projected as a wing player. But according to Draft Express, he could be a shooting guard with his playmaking ability. Or he could be a stretch four in smaller lineups. That's the versatility that Brian Bowen has. ESPN, Draft Express, and 24/7 Sports all say that Bowen has a lot of potential and upside, high basketball IQ, natural instincts, a very good shooter, according to Jerry Meyer, 24/7 Sports analyst. He can make the tough shots, has improved his ability to score off the dribble, fantastic catch-and-shoot guy, gotten gradually and progressively better in other areas of the game. A Bleacher Report and NBADraft.net call Bowen an elite shooter with smooth mechanics, the range to score from three and to finish at the rim, all without needing to have the ball in his hands at all times. 24/7 Sports says he has versatile scoring attack, allows him to score by driving the ball from the wing, make jump shots, even score at some from the block. How about his weaknesses? Scouts love Bowen's length as a wing player, but they think he has some work to do in adding bulk. He's kind of lanky. I think they listed him at 190 at 6'7". That's kind of lanky. So he needs to be able to withstand physical play at the college level and not just count on his athleticism. Needs to improve strength. 24/7 Sports says he has a long way to go as far as getting stronger and being physical. An average frame, they say he's a bit hunched up top. You don't want to be hunched up top. Struggles to play through physicality on both ends of the floor, according to Draft Express. So maybe not the most physical guy coming in. Most analysts think he lacks elite explosiveness on the level of most NBA wings and guards. Bleacher Report and Draft Express describe that element of his game as average, not poor enough to hold him back in college. And finally, while he can score from just about anywhere on the floor, he did struggle a bit in high school with streaky shooting, especially long-range shooting. Could be streaky there. 24/7 Sports says, at this point, his long-range shot is not consistent. He was 11 for 53 from 3 points in his final summer on the Nike circuit. 11 for 53. So, obviously, did not light it up from three there. And they say he sometimes struggles with shot selection. Takes some bad shots. He has the ability to make difficult attempts, and scouts feel that he sometimes settles for those shots instead of working to get a better shot. Frank Martin, of course, known for his defense, and Bowen has all the tools to be a good defender, according to scouting reports. Good instincts tracking the ball, has the length to get into people's faces, but size is an issue at about 190 pounds as far as defense is concerned. But they'll put him in the gym, bulk him up a little bit. Corey Holden added weight at South Carolina. They're pretty good at doing that with their weight program down there. So we'll see how that goes. So, yeah, it sounds pretty good. All in all, look, five-star player at South Carolina, we don't see those, so you take it.
Does he shoot better than 42% from the free throw line?
I'm hoping so. Who does that?
Does he shoot better than 31% from the floor?
I am hoping so. But not from three, at least in the Nike circuit. Why, is that what they're shooting?
He'll be the number one pick in the draft then.
Okay.
If he can shoot better than 42% from the free throw line and 31%.
From the free throw line?
Yeah. That's what the number two overall pick shot.
Well, we'll find out when he's going to get to play. They got to get him. He's in school, but they got to get him eligible to play for the Gamecocks. And then we'll go from there, but it's a big get for Frank Martin and the Gamecocks. Brian Bowen from Louisville coming in to play for South Carolina. All right, thanks for listening today. Appreciate all the calls, the texts, and the tweets. We will be back at it tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock here in the huddle. Don't forget Clemson, North Carolina State basketball tonight at 9 o'clock. That is tip-off time, and so we're going right at tip-off time with the broadcast tonight from the Clemson Network. Thanks, Lonzo. Thank you, Josh. I'm Greg McKinney. Thank you for listening. Straight Up with Sturridge is next, and we'll see you tomorrow in the huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!